Right now, though, we're going to check in with our financial counselor, Brad Graber from investingintruth.com. And what we're talking about is what to do with your old 401k. And I did not realize this, Brad, until I saw what you sent to us. But the average worker between the age of 18 and 48 has held 11 jobs. And with all those jobs, there typically comes multiple retirement accounts. So what do we do with all of those old retirement accounts when we move on to a different country, or country, a different company? Do you hear that question very often?
It's probably the most frequently asked question that I get, to be honest with you. And I think it's because people are told over and over, contribute to the workplace plan. And we get that advice all the time. But what we don't hear is, what do we do with it once we move on? So as you just shared, we're changing jobs pretty frequently anymore in our society. So what do we do with it when we move on? Do we ignore it? Do we move it somewhere else? Do we take the money out to pay off debts? The nice thing is we have options. The question is, which one of those options do we pick?
Hang on there, Brad. Sorry about that. Well, let me start by asking this basic question, right? If I have maybe some bills to pay, right, and I need the money, should I cash out? Is that a good option for me, or do I stay away from that?
Well, it is an option. So we want to at least recognize it as that. But as we start looking at it, we quickly see that it has some pretty big consequences that come with it. So the first is that this money was money we saved for a specific purpose. And we should always be hesitant when we're going to use money for a purpose other than what we originally intended it for. Otherwise, we're going to get to retirement, and we're not going to have any retirement savings left because there was always a shorter-term need that we were robbing that account for. So that's the first one. The second one is that in almost every case, you're going to be paying taxes on anything you take out. And if you're not retirement age, which the government considers to be 59 and a half, so if you're younger than 59 and a half, they're also going to add on a 10% penalty on top of that. So you're paying taxes, you're paying a 10% penalty. Once you add up all those costs, the cost of getting a dollar out of that plan is pretty expensive. So what I would tell people is, if you've got those bills screaming at you, or you have some credit card debts or something adding up on you, look at your other options before you consider cashing out a retirement plan, because it's not cheap money to get to.
Well, Brad, what if I have an outstanding loan from my employer plan when I leave my job? Then what? What's changed there?
Yes, this is one of the things a lot of people fail to think about. So they had that credit card debt. They knew that they could take a loan from the account while they were still working there, but they didn't consider, well, what happens if I lose that job or I leave that job? While you're working there, you have up to 5 years to pay back a loan. So you may have taken it out, not worried about getting it paid back. It would just come out of each paycheck. Eventually, it'd be paid off. But once you leave the job, then the rules change. And it used to be you only had 60 days to pay it back. Those rules have actually recently changed. So now you have until the due date of your federal tax return. And that also includes any extensions. So you're going to have a little less than a year. Depends on what point in the year you would leave that job. But within a year, you're going to have it all paid back. If you don't get that loan completely paid back, then that's when it becomes like we talked about in the first situation. It's considered an early distribution. And that's when you would have to pay taxes on any remaining balance, and you may have to pay that 10% early withdrawal penalty as well if you're under 59 and a half.
Well, Brad, if I want to keep my money and then save it for retirement, can I just leave it in the same account and just not worry about it?
Well, that's an it depends question. So you want to check with your former employer. Some plans will allow you to leave your balances there. Some will not. And one common scenario is if the account's not that big, you may be forced to move that money outside of the plan. So a common threshold is about $5,000. So any accounts less than $5,000 may be forced out of the plan. Any accounts over $5,000 may be allowed to stay. It's just one of those things you're going to have to check with that former employer and see, is this an option? Can I leave it where it is? And if you do have that option, then you're going to just have to look at the pros and cons of, do I leave it there or do I not?
Well, what are the pros then, Brad? What are some positives for leaving it where it is?
Well, one obvious one is it's convenient. You don't have to think about it. You can just leave it where it was and move on. In some states, there's better creditor protection inside a workplace plan than if you would happen to move the money outside of a workplace plan. So that's another positive. you may like the investment options that were offered in that employer plan. And maybe those are investment options that aren't available to you if you would ever move the money out. So if you really like those investment options, it might be a reason to try to leave it there. And the last one is, it could just buy you time. So you lost the job or you left the job and you're not sure what you're going to do with it. You're not sure where you're going to work next. Just having that availability of buying yourself some time and leaving it sit for now and making that decision maybe a year from now even, that's an added pro as well.
Well, if those are the pros, then there's got to be the other side of that coin, right? So what's the cons of leaving my money in that account and just leaving it unattended?
Yeah, so there's always going to be some downsides as well. So with a workplace plan, you always are limited in what your investment options are to what that employer is offering in the plan. So while you were working there, you may have had 10 to 20 different investment options, might have been less than that even, that you could choose from. As long as your money's sitting in that plan, then those are the only options you have. So you're going to have to make sure you're satisfied with those. There could also be additional fees inside of that employer plan. And it can be really hard to understand what all the underlying fees are that are being passed on to your account. Sometimes you don't even see them all. But one general rule of thumb is that the smaller the employer, typically the more expensive the plan is. And that's just because there's less money in it, less accounts to spread those fees across. A smaller employer may not have the ability to pick up all the fees for the company and for the employees, so it's possible that more fees are being passed on to you. So you want to make sure you understand those and that you're not paying more fees than you would have to with another option. And then over time, let's say you're one of these people that had 11 jobs. If you continue to leave it at the prior employer plan, it's going to get confusing because you're going to have a lot of different plans out there. And you know, eventually it gets to the point where people are like, I don't even really know what I have anymore. So you just have to be aware of that too.
But what if I want to keep the money invested for retirement, but I just don't like the idea of leaving it where it is?
Yeah, so most people I talk to, it's like, okay, I cut the ties with that employer. I want to move my money on and not even think about that job anymore. And you do have a lot of freedom there, too. When you're employed with that employer, you're kind of stuck with their plan. But once you leave that employer, now you have freedom. So they call it portability. You can move your money around and have other options. So one of them, as we talked about just a little bit earlier, if you move to a new job and that employer offers another plan, in most cases, they'll allow you to bring money from a prior plan and invest it in that one. And all you want to do is make sure you look at the investment options of that one and make sure you like those. Look at the fees. Am I going to be paying higher fees there or not? And as long as the fees are reasonable, then that may be a good option for you. And the nice thing is that since you're going from retirement plan to retirement plan and you're staying within the same IRS rule book, then they're not going to charge you taxes or penalties or fees for moving it from one retirement account to another one. So that's one option you have. The other one is if you want to go completely independent with it, you can do what's called a rollover into an individual retirement account, or an IRA as we typically refer to it. It's a very common tool that's used, and that allows you to have complete control. It's no longer tied to an employer, so you can pick where it's at, what investment company or your bank or wherever you're going to put it at. You can also choose the investment. So now you have pretty much the world of investment options available to you. You can put it in a CD if you want to. You can put it in mutual funds and stocks. You can do a lot of different things with an individual retirement account, and you have complete flexibility with that. And complete flexibility, as you can imagine, is good for some people, may not be great for other people. So you need to weigh your own self and figure out, is this a good thing or not a good thing that I have this much control and this much flexibility? You also want to make sure you're understanding the fees. So What are the fees being charged on my account? What are the fees of the underlying investments? And if you're choosing to use an advisor, which a lot of people do when they go the IRA route, if you're using an advisor, make sure you understand their fees and their services and that you're getting the value for those as well. So in all this, we have lots of options. And the question is, which one of those just fits best for you?
Well, when thinking about those IRAs, there's two different kinds of IRAs, right, Brad? What are those two different kinds, just to dive into that real quick?
Yeah, so that can be a little longer explanation, but I'll give you the quick summary. You have a traditional IRA, which means it's money that was put in pre-tax, so it came out of your paycheck before you ever paid taxes on it. and then the money continues to grow tax-free while it's in there. But then when you get to retirement, anything you take out is going to be taxable at that point because you've never paid tax on it. The other kind is called a Roth IRA. And a Roth IRA, anything that went in has already been taxed. And then the money continues to grow tax-free as long as you leave it in there. The difference is when you get to retirement, everything that comes out of a Roth IRA is also tax-free. So even the earnings you never paid taxes on, that money comes out tax-free as well. So it's a matter of, do I put in more by putting in before taxes, or do I put in a little bit less after tax, but then get bigger tax benefits in retirement? So you just kind of have to weigh the pros and cons of those.
Well, Brad, this is great information. As always, appreciate the work that you put into it, and want to let all of you know you can learn more about all these things. In fact, Brad has a financial boot camp on his website, investinginTruth.com. You can connect with that by clicking on the Resources tab. And online at kellyandsteve.org. But Brad, man, thank you for this. As always, I wish I would have talked to you about 20 years ago.
It's always a pleasure, guys. And we can't go back in time, but we can just try to make the best decisions going forward.
That's it. Well, thanks, man.